Welcome to Watch What Crap Is, the podcast for all that crap we just love talking about on Yo Props, okay? I'm Ronnie Karam. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I am just fantastic. So excited to jump into another episode of Real Housewives of Orange County.
Me do. Everybody, welcome to the show today. It's Real Housewives of Orange County Day, like Ben just said. Guy, you can go listen to our Dwell Hello episodes about House Hunters over on Stitcher Premium. And also our bonus episodes are still on Patreon. Crappin's On Demand is today, so we're on camera. Hello. You're
Hi.
Welcome. Look at this face. Whoa.
I know. My new short hair.
It's different? Let me see.
Look.
What'd you change? Oh, the sides are cut. I didn't notice because you still have your fwop in the front.
I know. I got my fwop because basically last Wednesday, I was like, enough. I was like Taylor Armstrong, enough. And I went to shave my head and I had my clippers and everything. And I did my sides and then my top was long. And I was like, that's kind of cute. It's kind of fun. You know, if I don't put product in it, it looks very emo. Like the bangs hang down and I'm like, but, I was like, that's kind of fun. It's kind of emo, but it's sort of janky in the back. And I think that probably I wanted to do a week of it, this style, but I think I'm going to go full shaved head, probably today. Actually, I think after we're done recording, I'm going to bring it down to a three
experiment.
All around.
Just experiment.
Yeah. I was like, okay, let me just have fun with this long twop while I can. And then, you know. And that's it. And you know what, Ronnie? Don't shame me, okay? Don't shame me, okay? Like, this is my life, okay? I had to do a lot of work to get this hair, okay? So
yeah.
Don't shame me, Ronnie.
Well, you're going to shame somebody for being poor? Yes. What the fuck do you think this is? Like, this is Bravo, ma'am, okay? This is not Alaskan Bush people, okay?
We have lots to say about this. I already feel like we have a lot to say about this stupid fight, and I'm really excited for it. But
yeah, well, let's just jump into it. What the hell?
Yeah, why not? Let's just jump in. Like people in the background of a Real Housewives of Orange County B-roll shot at the ocean. Let's dive in silently at first, but then with music.
So we open silent again.
Wait, we have the taglines. Did we talk about the taglines?
Oh, no,
we
didn't.
Did we talk about the taglines?
No, they never show them the first episode. Yeah, so let's do our taglines first. Sorry, I thought that was all previously on Real Housewives, and I was like, guess what? I'm not going to do previously today. I'm making a stand!
And I'm like, wait, Ronnie, let's talk about the start again.
Yeah.
So the first tagline is Kelly saying, don't judge me by what I do. In fact, don't judge me at all. You're stupid.
Yeah, don't judge me at all, you sheep. Wear your mask, you sheep. Wear your judge mask, stupid sheep.
Bronwyn, did you write in them down? I could just do them. You want me to just do them?
No, I'm just not into Bronwyns. Like, I feel like anything I say regarding Bronwyn is like me admitting alcoholism. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't even want to say, like, I'm an alcoholic. My name is Bronwyn and I'm an alcoholic because I feel like people would be thinking that's Ronnie, like, coming out as an alcoholic. And guess what? I'm not giving up, okay? I'm not coming out as an alcoholic. So you guys can just back the fuck off and get off my ass about it.
You're okay, Ronnie. Look, you made it through Luann's sobriety journey and regression.
I knew it was fake. That's the kind of sobriety I'm into. When you say I'm sober and go to AA and then open your fridge and it's all rosé bottles, that's the kind like that I can do. Okay.
Ronwyn's too real for you. Yeah. Well, she says, cheers to bad choices, then making better ones. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I feel like if she weren't an alcoholic, I probably would have like made fun of that more. But now knowing that she is in starting recovery, that I'm like, well, I guess that's inspirational, and I'm not gonna shit on someone's inspiration. Okay, I'm not that bad of a person.
I mean, I am. I've just had a lot of addicts in my family and stuff, and then it's like you go to rehab, and then suddenly you can't say anything bad to the addict. Like, you stole silverware. You know what I'm like? That doesn't even make sense. Like, you literally stole Target silverware from my shitty little, you know, apartment.
Are you related to Kim Richards? I don't understand.
Anyway, okay. So then, she's got like 97 kids behind her, which,
as usual,
it was crazy. I forget how big of a family she has. I always wonder when people have problems, like, how do you even have time to have problems? You've got so much going on, girl.
So many children. I know.
So then Gina is like, those who live in small houses should definitely throw stones. I was like, you need to get your hair done. You look fucking crazy. That's what I want from you right now. I want hair did. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like Gina's on the same hair journey as I am, and that's not good for someone who's actually a television personality. Okay, it's one thing for me.
If you show up here with hair sewed on to the back of your head, like an inch down your scalp, I'm going to be pissed, Ben, okay?
By the way, why should people in small houses throw stones? That actually is like the worst idea ever. Like that is the worst. Unless your house is full of gather signs and Mackenzie Childs decor, then throw all the stones you want. But as we saw, she's actually purged all that stuff. So all she's doing is making holes in the condo that
and
she's
the
so
children.
Proud of purchasing.
She's not even she's not making holes in the wall. She's making holes. She's throwing those rocks at children because there's six children and a man in there. Okay, you're gonna hit someone with your fucking rocks. Put down the rocks, Gina.
Put down rocks. Don't throw anything. How about that? Throw a pillow. They're literally called throw pillows.
So Emily is like, life is full of beautiful curves, and so am I.
That's fine. And in the middle of it, you see her do a cartwheel, and she goes, new hip!
New hip!
her personality this year is new hip. I love new that. Hip. Like the executives are like, tell us about Emily. We want to know why she's still on this show. Like, well, she's got a new hip. No, I understand that she's hip, but like, tell us more. No, she has a new hip. She's not that she's newly hip. She actually has a new hip. Okay, that works for us.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, what kind of production meeting was that? Like last season, like Emily, bad hip, and this season, new hip.
It's hip to be square.
Also,
that,
I'm not
Shane wrote that.
I'm not sure about your opening tagline being about weight issues. You know what I mean? I don't like that. I mean, I talk about mine all the time, but I'm from the Hippocrat Party, and that's totally different. I need more from you than like your weight and your hips. You know what I mean?
Can't
like you're gorgeous,
Hippocrat
okay?
Hip. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like she's gorgeous, and I don't need to hear about her complaining about her weight. I'm complaining about my. You're doing fine. Like you're my goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, Orange County is a great show to project our issues onto. Isn't that great?
It is. Oh. We've got addiction. We've got weight issues. We've got boredom. I mean, really?
Yeah, exactly. So now we have Elizabeth Vargas, the new one. She's like, I earned my money the old-fashioned way, marrying it, then making more.
And I mean, I kind of like that, using your seed money to, you know, have super profitable businesses like dog rescues. What kind of dog business is that? You better sell that shit, okay? You need to stop rescuing them and start selling them, okay? You need to whip out some Vanderpump action.
Yeah, exactly. And then finally we have Shannon. I've closed the old bed door, emphasis on bed door, and open a new one. Oh my god. I opened up a door on the other side of that door. That's actually a welcome mat that David once gave me. It said, hi, stupid. And I look at it and I think back to the times. Here lies Shannon Bedore, killed by a welcome mat from David.
So we start with Emily going over to Kelly's beach house, her beach apartment that she's moving out of. And I was like, when are you moving? New hip. And Kelly's like, Sunday, sit down, I'll get you some cheese. Guess who's been calling me like nonstop? Shannon Bedore.
Yeah, by the way, Kelly is wearing some like crazy like white ruffly thing. She looks like tripe. And then she also has like a blue hat on, which I'm assuming is for her water thing. So it's just a very odd image in this like mid-century apartment that she
So she's wearing that blue water drop thing that's like her hat company. I put $250,000 into that company.
I'm in Target. So she's like, Shannon's legitimately my neighbor. Like she's like, oh, I don't know, I'll be cordial with her or whatever. She's a dork.
And Emily's like, why is she calling you? Because her asshole friends are off the show now. She's like, no, she's looking legit. She's like, what is a, like, she's saying, you know, she's afraid of Shannon living in her neighborhood because she can come kill her in the middle of the night. Yeah. You're afraid of somebody in the neighborhood? Like, you're probably on fucking lampposts right now, your picture, okay?
I know. I feel like Shannon committing murder, if she were to do it, it would be the most bungly murder. It would be like an old British comedy of some sort. Like she'd be just like dropping the knife everywhere. Huh? Hold on one moment. I'm just going to just take care of this one moment. Or she like shoots the gun and it like hits a picture of him. Oh, God, I was hold it right there. You know?
She'd definitely go to jail because they'd come to get her and she'd be like, "How dare you accuse me of something I did?"
I did it. I did it. I did it. Yes. She's also, you know, in those movies, you know, in like every episode of like
Murder, She Wrote,
Murder,
House
She Wrote.
Hunters.
No, Murder, She Wrote.
What,
You
is
got it
it
on the
Murder, She
first
Wrote?
one. Murder,
Oh.
She Wrote. Every episode or any like TV show where it's like in the end, the big twist is that the wife did it or whatever. And like Angela Lansbury encounters her and the wife is like holding a gun, like, "You stay back. You stay back. I'm gonna shoot. I'm gonna shoot." And her hand's trembling, and then someone comes and just takes the gun out of her hand. Shannon is the most like gun takeable out of hands of all time.
Yes.
Like if Shannon ever comes in with a gun, you literally could walk up and pluck it out with fingers because she'd be like, "I'm gonna shoot. I'm gonna shoot." Oh, you took the gun. You took the
Really
gun.
shouldn't drink that tea. It's got poison in it. Oh, Shannon, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I just want to say my final words. This tea was meant to poison Kelly Todd, but I got so thirsty that I actually drank it myself. So I guess I've just sort of killed myself. I'm a martyr to myself.
That she'd
Okay.
totally filibuster herself right out of the death chair at the end, the electric chair. She'd be like, "My last meal." All right. How much time you got? All right. Some salmon, preferably with some cream cheese in the middle. My brand. My brand. M&M's of some sort. I don't want it to be M&M's. I don't want that to be my last. They're going to say, "Here lies Shannon Bedore, who finished life with peanut M&M's." That is not me. I'm on a new journey, a happy journey. All right. How about a hamburger? I'm not going to eat a hamburger. Like, she'll just go on.
I'm sorry, I realize you're about to execute me, but could you please make sure that this beef is organic? I don't want any toxins in me. Officer, this electric chair, it's not very ergonomic, and I was wondering if we could find something that just shapes to my body and my own issues. It doesn't have lumbar support.
It would be nice if I could die in a chair that wasn't made from oak, because oak is very, very bad. The allergens coming is going to kill all the guards.
I can't sit on an oak chair. I can't do this. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't. This is just not right. Finally, just let her go.
Yeah, they're like,
Like,
"Just get out, okay? We can't, we do not have time to restock the kitchen and build a new chair. You're fine. He deserved it. He deserved it."
So Shannon's now talking about how, how Shannon does these things that piss her off, but then she has a really good heart. And then we see kind of like a greatest hits of their relationship, which is them like fighting like dogs and then like
Oh,
reconciling,
hello,
like,
Kelly. Oh, hi.
"I'm
Yeah. Kelly going, "Why don't you just shave your stupid chin hair? You're growing so much hair on there, stupid chinny chin chin. I'm sorry. No, I think we're like really good friends." Oh.
It's not my fucking plea. Ah! I just, no one really gets me like you, Kelly. We're just like really two people on this journey together. Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah. And Kelly's like, "Well, I mean, I think she also just had like Tamara and Vicky in her ear and she's a follower." And Emily's like, "Yeah, she is a follower." I was like, way to follow Kelly saying that she's a follower. Repeat
Yeah,
her.
but it's also like not a very difficult conclusion to reach. You
Yeah.
just have to like know Shannon for about 30 seconds to know that like she's a follower. Like Siri tells her what to do, you know? So
But what
so
was the Siri tells her what to do. What was the fight with Shannon and Kelly? How did it start? Shannon didn't like that Kelly was talking meanly about somebody. Who was it?
the Shannon and Kelly fight started, well, the Shannon and Kelly fight, there was all sorts of stuff going on. That was, remember, there was the train situation, the whole thing with the train, and
Right.
then there was, and by train, I mean like the sex train, in case you forgot. And then there was the whole thing with Kelly called up Jimbalino, and Shannon was like, "He is someone who is suing me, and you have crossed the line."
Well, that was
So I think.
later, but the first thing, because they were really good friends and going out, and Kelly, Shannon was going through a divorce, and they were like going out drinking and all that stuff. And then Kelly was fighting with somebody, and she was being too mean to
Tamara.
them. And then Shannon got upset because she doesn't want to be with people who talk like that to other people. Remember?
Well,
I
yeah,
don't remember
because
who it was.
Kelly was mad at Tamara. because first Kelly was mad at Vicky because Vicky was you know, and then she was mad at Vicky, especially about the train thing and all that stuff. And then of course there was Miraval, where Kelly assaulted, you know, Shannon with a mallet. And so it's just, there's been a lot.
And when they said she's a follower, they showed how, I love that they cut to the scene in the car where Tamara's totally telling Shannon how mad she should be, like that she almost died. It's like, yeah, my ex-husband, like, he, like, got a dong on his head and his brain was split, I bitch.
Shannon's like, I can't see. So, which was
that great. Was classic, my God.
Yeah, so Emily's loving this, by the way. Emily's having the best time. She's like, Shannon, sola amiga, oh, she has to be her own person, sort of like how my new hip has to be its own hip. Am I right, everyone? High five.
In her mind, she just thinks you're, like, out of control for the whole year and she did nothing wrong. Is that what I'm hearing right now? It's like, yeah, the tres amigas. Yeah, but sola, the soli, sola, lonely, sola, sola, amigo. Yeah, I'm sola. No, she's not sola because she has a boyfriend.
So Emily's hoping that Shannon now notices that, like, I have a pulse and that I breathe air. And then I've got a new hip. New hip.
So Kelly's like, yeah, she wrote me out of the blue and says that she has an extra organic mattress. Does that mean I don't have bed bugs? And she's like, no, actually, you'll probably have more bed bugs because they'll be like, delicious. Like, they're Orange County bed bugs. Of course they want to eat organic. Come on.
Well, you know, the way me and Rick would be in that bed. Oh,
oh yeah, yeah, we're gonna bone so much in that bed.
Yeah, I don't think any bed bugs want to be near that. He's gonna be like, "Hey, bed bugs."
Okay, then we go over to Liz's house.
What? By the way, of course, Shannon has an extra organic mattress lying around.
Yeah,
would you care for an extra?
I stuffed it with cream cheese.
So then we go over to Elizabeth's house, and she's serving coffee, and her mom's there. She's cooking, and they're going to lie to the mom and say they're going to the spa, but they're really going to go to the theme park.
I love how the mom looks like she runs an acting studio, right? She's like, all right, let's take this one from the top, okay? I'm going to walk in. You guys are going to pretend like we're going to the spa, but you're really planning to go to the theme park. Okay, scene.
Liz is telling us her story. She's like, I was the black sheep. I grew up very poor. My dad was a preacher, going from trailer to trailer. I never saw money until I had it. That's right, boys. And her boyfriend's there. We finally get to meet Jimmy. And
yep.
Jury's out
well,
on Jimmy.
Well, that's because he says all of three words the entire time.
Yeah, he doesn't speak. He's not as young as I guess I thought. I guess I expected more of a fuckboy than Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah. He's more of just like, his personality is tall.
Yes. He's like, ooh, I don't like plane seats. But yeah, he also looks like the guy who delivers my Instacarts. And the guy's okay. Very nice. He delivers the Instacarts, but he's very soft-spoken, and he often gets the wrong products. And because we know each other now, because that's, you know, it's COVID, so that's like all I do is order from Instacart. So he thinks he knows me. So he's like, I'm just not going to message Ronnie today. I'll just get him what I think he'll like. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not sure about you, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's no good. Jimmy, what I want for Jimmy, I need to have like more of a good, like clear, long shot of Jimmy. I feel like we haven't had any good, like tight close-up shots because I feel like his hair, I feel like he needs a better hairstyle. I feel like something's going on with his hair. And I feel like I feel like he's had like a hairstyle for the past 20 years and that's just his hairstyle, but like it's not doing the right thing. But I can't really stick to that opinion because I need to have a really long – I need to have, like, a shot where I'm really looking
he's
at his
bald.
Face.
So, like, as someone who's bald, I can bald shame you. Well, it's not really bald shaming. Like, look at mine, okay? I got a bald cap. I got it off Amazon, so I'm trying to grow hair. So take a good look at my hair, people, because it might be growing in soon. But you see, like, he's got See how like it's really, really bold in some places? Like
yeah.
he's got that here, like back to here, but he's like, oh, so what? It's just a little one. I'll just grow hair around it, which is not.
Yeah.
It's I don't like know, he's got like head, a bay. You know?
He's got like a bald bay, like a bald harbor.
Yes, it's hair. A bald harbor. And like, it's I like don't want to think about tourism while I'm talking to you. Like, just like shave your head. Like, it's okay. Bruce Willis does it.
Yeah, it's a fjord of baldness. Yeah. I'm sitting really badly in the back here, but since I don't have to look at it, yeah, I don't have cares? To worry about it.
Yeah, like I don't care what my butt looks like. You know what I mean? Like, who cares? I want bangs and pecs. Like, that's literally all I care about.
I don't
and a
really
penis,
want bangs,
I guess. I'm going to have a great. Penis, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. I do. So the mom, Elizabeth's mom is like, let's talk about your spending money, your shopping problem, Liz. She's like, well, who benefits? You guys do.
Yeah. I don't know if you tell the girl who just divorced a billionaire that you want her to start saving money when she's probably supporting you.
Like, yeah.
Keep that money to yourself, Mom, okay? So she's like, Jimmy is the polar opposite of my husband. He's an introvert, he's intact, and he's young.
I wanted the tallest man in the room, so I just wanted good company, and he's in, and he's been here ever since.
Yeah. And she's like, well, we need to schedule airlines for your parents to come visit. I mean, that's going to be fun. Your mom's going to make me some Mexican food. What does she make, chimichangas? And he's like, tamales. All right, tamales, other Spanish things. Well, I'm just half Mexican, half German. But my dad said, nah, the Spanish, no one's going to respect you speaking Spanish. You better learn English, stupid. So I did. But now I need Spanish. It's nuts.
Hey Jimmy, can you have your mom make that cut up chicken with peppers and stuff, peppers and beans and rice that she puts into one of those flat hot dog buns? You mean a burrito? Yes, that's it. Could you have her make that for me? Thank you.
That is so Mexican.
Oh yes. So yeah, so she's getting back in touch with her Mexican roots.
Like I don't know that. It's not even about being out of touch with your Mexican roots. Like, literally everyone knows the difference between a tamale and a chimichanga, okay?
Yeah, you're in
like,
Southern California. Even in Orange County. Even in Orange County, the most right-wing county of, like, California. Even there, people know the difference between chimichanga and, you know, I hope.
What's the shunning you for speaking Spanish? Are you nuts? That would have made you so much smarter to be bilingual. Like, what the hell?
I know, that's a common thing I've heard from people who like a desire to assimilate into like America. It's like, no, you only speak English, but you know that's a whole other thing.
I mean, our grandparents were kind of like that. Our Lebanese side, they didn't insist that the kids learn English because they wanted them to learn. I mean, they didn't insist that they learned Arabic. They wanted them to learn English, but like. Mexican, like Spanish is a pretty humongous language in America. It's like, it's pretty useful, guys, if you know Spanish.
Well, yes. I mean, I cannot weigh in on what this man's thought process was, but the point is this, his daughter now does not know the difference between chimichanga and tamale.
I mean, yeah, so no matter where you stand, the parenting here is off, okay? I mean, just the menu parenting alone is
the
off.
Menu parenting is she wasn't even allowed to do a maze on the menus. It's like, no.
Oh, he didn't want us learning to run. You're going to stay at home instead of running around in fields trying to make your way through bushes. Thanks, Dad. Or shall I say adios? That's how you say you're welcome, right?
Adios, señorita. That's how I say thank you, Dad.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now we have Bronwyn and Sean heading to dinner. And Bronwyn's like, oh, I remember coming here. I just don't remember leaving. Ha! Sad.
Oh, God.
Laughter.
Okay, I'm so sorry because this is a sensitive storyline. I get it. But as someone who has probably almost gone down this storyline many times and who's had a lot of friends who go down it all the time, like constantly, let's be honest, I hate the tour of, look how fucked up I used to be. It's like it was 2 weeks ago. Can we not talk about it? Because I was right next to you, just as fucked up as you were. So when you're like, oh my God, I remember getting so wasted at that place. I am traumatized. I'm like, You were literally holding my bald head out of the toilet at that place. Can you not diss me? Like, I haven't made that choice yet. Okay? So how about you don't just include me in your problem? Okay?
You are going to be so triggered this entire season. I mean, here we thought we'd be triggered by entirely different things. We all expected triggering on Orange County, but like the amount of triggering already just by her walking into this restaurant. You're like, now, ma'am, I will not stand for this. Okay, it is not my fault. Okay, it is not my fault.
But it's true. Like when your friend becomes sober and then suddenly it's like, oh my God, I remember how wasted I would get. I'm so ashamed of myself. And I'm like, I'm wasted right now. Like, stop. Because she's with Sean, you know, he's like, yeah, remember that. So then they go to dinner. It's Happy Valentine's Day, which also, guess what? Happy we're not celebrating Tamara's birthday day.
Holler.
Yeah, that's a wonderful point. So they're talking about how it's a much more subdued Valentine's Day because, you know, last year it was like in their condo and they had that hideous scene where they like had sexy times in the condo. And Sean is like, yeah, this is much more subdued, but it's good. This is good too. This is good.
And they're like, can you guys get a waitress that really sounds like she's torturing Bronwyn? I don't care who it is. Just make her sound like torture. So the waitress comes over and she's like, water. It's like, why are you sounding like a horror movie door squeak to say she's water? Like, that's not cool.
She's like, you want a cocktail? I'll never tell. Like, get out of here, ghost of Brittany Murphy.
I'll never tell.
So, Bronwyn, I mean, so Sean also gets water, and then Bronwyn's like, no, I want you to drink because I don't want to feel like you're doing something else, right? Like that you're acting differently because of me, you know? So she's in that phase where she's like really like subconscious about it all. And she's on day 14 of this. And basically for the past like a million years, she's either been drunk, nursing, or pregnant. And so now she starts to cry at the table because it's like, she's having one of these moments where she just realizes that like, I can never drink again. Like, not like this is my life for the rest of my life.
Also, just that she chose to do it right when they started filming. She was on Watch What Happens. I watched Watch What Happens last night, which is rare. But she was on there. I wanted to see what she was up to. And she was on there with this self-help chick who's like kind of like a Brene Brown lady, I guess. So that's right up Bronwyn's alley, you know. So Bronwyn was like a huge fan of this lady, and this lady's like, you're right about everything. But anyway, they were talking about how this happened, and Bronwyn went to that party for Rick's 60th or whatever and got so drunk. You know, the same thing she said on the show. It's just interesting because she's like, yeah, I just called the producers and I was like, I'm an alcoholic. We should just do it as a story, you know? So the fact that they did it this close to quitting drinking, it's like, okay, let's start shooting and I'm going to dry out is insane. Yeah, it's like an insane decision to make and it's going to be hard to go through and hard to watch like as a viewer. It's a lot watching someone detox.
But in a way, I think, I mean, it's definitely, I have to imagine it's got to be like the hardest thing ever. I think probably going into recovery in general is like super, super hard.
Yeah.
And I applaud people who do it. But I think doing it in a, in technically a work environment, right? Where like people are drinking and it's like there's craziness happening and everything you're doing is under microscope. This must be really,
it's rough, man.
Really rough. But I fought her, and it is. I have found that already. It's been very compelling television because it's real. You know, I hate when people say that because it's real, but it's real.
So real. It is real, and it is different. It is real. I like it because it sounds like Israel, and I feel supportive.
My Postmates this morning was named Israel, so it reminds me of him.
Yeah, so there you go. So, it is real, and it's hard to watch.
I think John's going to say it's real. We're just going to say it.
I guess because I'm trying to remind myself what I was going to say, but other times on Housewives, it's the I have to go to AA because I'm in trouble with the cops, which is Gina last year. Because Gina last week was like,
all right, here's what I got to do today. I got to figure out how to fit six kids in a bedroom and then go to AA, and then I'm going to go to TJ Maxx for a gather.
And I was like, what? She just kind of shoved the AA in there and then is drinking this episode. But it's because it's court-ordered, I'm guessing, is the difference. And so we see that kind, but it's very rare when someone's like, okay, I'm in trouble, and this is real. Let's start first day of shooting. Go!
Yeah, seriously. So Sean's basically like, listen, honey, you can't make it such a stigma that you feel like if you failed, you have to like that you feel like you're a failure if you drink, you know, one more time. And she's like, well, yeah, but please don't give me that out because that's an out, you know. He's like, no, I'm just telling you, like, you're going to continue down this journey regardless. So don't if you fall off the wagon, don't feel like you're a failure. Which I don't know. I don't know if that advice is good or not. I can't tell. And I don't have the experience enough to weigh in on whether it's good enough advice. But
well, that's why they have Alan on, because it's difficult for everybody in the situation. Like, that's your partner for years. So obviously you've been out getting fucked up together. And so it creates, you know, it's like, well, do you have to be 100% or can you sometimes drink? It's like the whole Countess thing. Like,
yeah,
you know, if you have trouble drinking, can you drink one time when you're out and it's no big deal? Can you learn to have one glass of wine? Like,
there are some people that can. Yeah, there are people that, like, for some people, like, there is like a school of thought of like, I don't know. This is what someone told me, by the way. This is not me being like, this is what I know. I'm just someone who was exploring this told me that there is a school of thought that you can sort of like teach yourself to drink, like, just like to drink responsibly. But I think that for most people, it's probably like, just cut it all out. Either way, Bronwyn then says, yeah, I just feel like we're going through the motions of marriage. I mean, we haven't had sex since I got sober. We haven't even held hands. I'm like, well, it has only been 14 days. So,
like, yeah, it's been 14 days. And you're probably like, white nailing it or white knuckling it or whatever. So, yeah, give it a minute.
Give that minute. That's only been 14 days. You're okay. That's okay.
Yeah, and she tells us that he's always been there to pick her up and clean up her messes, and so it's been a very codependent relationship. And she's like, you know, I've always been able to hide behind fun and crazy, but then when you take away the fun and crazy part and it's just me, that's really scary. Which... I guess.
Yeah, that is true. And I don't believe Bronwyn and Sean are living together anymore. I think that's the latest news. But I don't know if they're actually even separated, because she keeps posting things like, we're in a, you know, this is like our, we have our own marriage.
They're redefining marriage. They're redefining their marriage at the moment. But I think she's got a girlfriend is the thing. I think she's like openly dating a woman. Yeah, I think.
I'm assuming based on just even this scene that she's probably taking a moment to like be herself without a husband and see like who she is as a sober person. I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway,
good for her. And I like her and I feel for her and everything, but how serious do we have to get this season of OC, okay? Because this is going to be really rough to talk about alcoholism every episode. I can warn you now.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's because soon we have a few serious episodes and then it becomes commonplace and then we can start being catty bitches again and say like mean things. Don't worry. It'll happen. It'll happen.
Okay. Well, speaking of, let's go to Shannon's for a meeting with 20 people there. Okay.
The dream team is here. The dream team is here.
So what is her company name? Dream? Is that what it is?
No, it's called Real for Real. Not to be confused with the seminal 90s R&B group Real Too Real. I'm Real for Real.
Real Too Real.
No, Real Too Real. Okay.
Is that
Real.
What it is?
Real for Real. I'm not saying that I have a branding issue, but you did just look real up a totally real. Different thing.
Yes, because I just looked up salmon stuffed with cream cheese and found Real Too Real, an American electronic and reggae-influenced musical project. Okay.
Well, I believe that Real to Real sings, I got to move it, move it. I got to move it, move it. I got to move it, move it.
Right?
Yeah, and the video took place on a Peloton that you couldn't unbuckle your shoes from. And actually...
Oh, God. That was a good workout.
So then I looked up Real for Real, and it's a Shimano Stratic CI4 Plus FB spinning reel model, like an electric bike?
That's right. That is actually the formal patent for my cream cheese stuffed salmon.
I don't know. You're having that big of a team and coming up with a name that I can't Google, bad move, Shannon. Rethink the name.
How about you look up the real name of my business called Real for Real Cuisine, Shambador Meals.
I just looked it up. Oh, my God. Okay, QVC magazine website. Here's my picture, smiling like this, judging your house. Judging your house. This is my judging your house smile, which I'm making right now.
I'm smiling even though I'm fully aware that David went out to sushi and drank tequila last night and he never does either of those things. But I'm smiling because it's my own business.
Shannon loves a salmon, okay? She loves a shrimp and she loves another kind of fish. So this is a lot of fish.
Tilapia!
Yeah. Looks like a halibut, but this is a lot of fish. So this is a lot of mercury, okay? I'm just warning everybody out there right now. There's a lot of mercury going on here. How much is this mercury? Shit? Five easy payments of $23.16 for 9 seafood meals. Is that good?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We do not fish sustainably because I believe the only thing that should be sustained is your emotional health.
That the only fish we use are sustainable fish, and by that I mean fish who couldn't sustain being in the water because they kept getting their noses stuck in those rings that keep Diet Cokes together, which is why we're serving dolphins on corn. Enjoy Real for Real by Shannon Bedore.
Well, I can only imagine what being fished sustainably must feel like. I'm sure it's not quite the same as being taken to a gastropub on your birthday and given a sugary sauce. I don't think that's very sustainable.
We do not kill fat fish for this diet.
We will not be serving you fatty tuna because that is not what this is about.
So Shannon's like, well, the first thing I want to talk about is the lemonade.
We are finally choosing bottles, and John brought some samples. And if you give me a moment, I will be drinking all the samples and we'll be reporting back on how delicious the lemonade is. Thank you.
So he's like, well, you know, we've got the lemonade. And he's like, well, we've been working on this 2 years. I financed it with my divorce money. I got $1.4 million after living a certain lifestyle. And I need to parlay.
Listen, I don't want one day to tell my kids, sorry, I blew it all on a dream. So that's why I'm investing into something that is part of a very competitive marketplace that I have no expertise in. So, future insured.
So, her man, John, comes over. And she's like, well, do you like the matte or the shiny bottle? Because the matte is cheaper. He's like, cheaper?
Exactly. We will take the cheaper one, John.
And then she keeps doing her huggy, like, I'm so happy. Hugs and kisses with John. Yeah, and she's like,
oh, it feels so great to be finally supported and not having to defend my decisions all the time. I just want to be supported.
Which, of course, means another David Bedore flashback of, well, dear, you don't really have any experience in this, dear. Do you really think you should be doing this, dear? Have some more sugar, dear.
Yeah. And so she's like, do you know how to get the... She's like, I'm so supported by John. John, do you know how to get a website on the television? Do you see what I mean? He's putting a website on the television. It's like a Lifetime movie.
Now, do you have a good relationship with Charlotte? How were you able to get that website up? Charlotte's Web? Are websites made by spiders? That's why I guess I'm asking.
So they're looking at her blog post, which it looks like the picture she's using now, which is the I'm touching your house look. He's like, oh, change that picture. It is not cute at all. He's like, you look so hot, babe. She's like,
John.
Kick ass. Oh, I love the John Jansen package. Oh, that sounds so bad. Oh, so happy.
So let's go to Casa Ranchero, speaking of Mexican food in the OC.
Yes.
And Emily and Gina are meeting for, like, early dinner or whatever. And Emily's
all
like, is it all you can eat tacos?
And they start off trying to, they start off the scene attempting to be good. They're eating, like, one tortilla chip at a time very slowly. Like, we're going to show moderation. By the end of the scene, they're like... Like all of us, by the way.
Yes, like all of us when we get wasty chicken basty. So this waitress is, I don't know, I think she's trying to steal everyone's husband, this waitress, because she talks like this.
Hi, ladies. Is there anything I can get?
How about you back the fuck away from my man? How about that? Okay.
Whoa. Wow, even the waitress got you going today. Even the waitress.
Oh, I hate a baby-voiced server. Okay.
I hate a baby voice in general, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't like it. Like, what are you trying to pull over on me, okay? You serve people tequila. Drop the baby act.
So, first Gina's talking about, you know what, I'm happy. You know, I haven't been working out. I've been eating food. All I do is eat, but I'm happy. They're happy pounds. Anyway, I'm going to go to Annabelle's birthday party this weekend. I can't wait to go and get my face painted.
Yeah. And she's clip of big fight. We're like sisters. Oh, yeah, and Shannon just hating Emily last year. We get a little clip of that because they're talking about how Gina and Emily can fight, but they all come back together at the end. And yeah. Gina, the waitress, comes back over and she's like,
would you like to order Caca Cuckoo? Would you like some more drinks?
And Emily's like, oh, I'll have another drink, okay? We're going to shut it down. How's your carnitas?
That was really good. I think you should want, you should have some, okay, coming into the hangar, airplane coming into the hangar.
So Emily's like, you're going to meet Elizabeth at this party. I met her at Bronwyn's birthday that you were supposed to be at.
Yeah, Gina apparently did not go to Bronwyn's birthday party. She basically, she says she forgot about it. Which, like, what does that say when you forget about it, you know? Because Gina is not happy with Bronwyn, and Emily is like, well, she did talk shit about your house. Oh.
Yeah, Emily's just in here to start shit all season long, and I'm here for it. I think she's doing a good job so far. So she's like, yeah, I mean, she's not just talking to me. She's, like, talking to everyone about it. And then we see Kelly and Bronwyn in the car talking about it. And Bronwyn is talking a lot of shit. So Gina's like, you know what?
No,
like,
you know what? This is where I want to push back. This is where I'm triggered. I don't think she was talking a lot of shit. I think Bronwyn's like, oh, so I heard that they have like a 1,600 square foot house. And there's that she's living in there with her kids. And her boyfriend moved in with his kids. So there's they've got six kids in there with the two of them in that space. And you see Kelly go, what? And she's like, and then she says something about, like, well, making good decisions isn't really her thing. That to me is the shady part. I don't think she's shaming the house. I think she's shaming the decision to move four other people into the house, which I think is actually like, is it like the nicest thing to do to maybe be talking about it? Maybe not. But do you think that, like, if we knew someone who had done something like that, don't you think that would be like, did you hear about so-and-so? They have like six people in that house. I just don't think it's like the worst offense. Like the,
I think it's fucking rude. I think it's really rude when you know this lady's poor and she's like shoving all these people into her poor little house. And you're like, gross. Oh, all those people in one house. Oh, especially when you live in like a mall, you know?
She does live in a mall, and she does have a lot of kids. I don't think that there's anything wrong with the house that Gina got, and I think it is great that she scratched together her money and got that condo. I just think it's I just don't think it's crazy to be like, but wait, her boyfriend moved in also with a bunch of kids? That seems crazy.
Yeah, but she is going from every like person to person being like, oh my God, did you hear about that? Like, kids, all those kids, two bedrooms.
Well, she went to, wait, she told Kelly, she talked to Kelly about it, and she talked to
Emily.
Who else? Oh, she talked to Emily.
Shannon. Well, I guess Shannon was the one who told her.
Yeah, I mean, she's got, I'm saying it's not like the best. It's not,
I mean, the whole cast with Gina and Elizabeth, because she doesn't really know her yet.
I just don't think it's like the worst offense of all time. I think, like, as it's like not a great thing to do. It's not the nicest thing to do, but I also don't think it's like the worst offense. I think we've seen much worse on this show.
Yeah, but it's rude. Like, if you heard somebody, like, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's not the worst offense, but still rude.
I think it's more question. I think it's to me, it's more like the questioning of like, can you believe that they moved all those kids into there? Like,
yeah, which was our reaction as well, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So then, yeah, I mean, my reaction, of course, was rude, you know, but I'm not denying that. So Gina's like, yeah, well, maybe if I had a fancy house in Newport or a fancy hookup at a club, she would like me. Like, she's really overdoing that accent. And Emily's like, fuck it, let's just do shots. Let's get wasted.
Yeah, and so they start doing shots, and she goes, and Gina's like, oh my God, you're like a new woman. And she goes, well, I have a new hip. My hip wants to do shots.
It's like, I can't even feel my lips right now. When was the last time you fucking could? Who are you kidding?
I know.
She's so
like, we're the new Trace Amigas. Dos Idiotas. And she's like, what does that mean? Like, idiotas? Sounds it out.
Oh, idiots.
So she's like, well, don't you worry. Like, if you want to party, you can go party in Bronwyn's club that she has in her house. And she's like, oh, my God, a club in your house. Who lives like that, all right? It's like 8,000 square feet. I mean, who rents an 8 grand square foot home? And, like, who does that? Like, you know who does that? Assholes, all right? All right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. She's like, I rented an 8,000 square foot home? You're an asshole. Who does that? So now Gina's saying that she thinks that Bronwyn's all smoke and mirrors and her house reflects that and she's full of bullshit. See, I think that's like a lot meaner than what Bronwyn said, you know, and I understand she's reacting. So like when you react, you're kind of like people sort of, there's like this idea that you can sort of be ruder. But I think what Gina's saying is a lot ruder than what Bronwyn was saying.
Well, then Emily's like, y'all, where does her money come from anyway? She's like,
she's a hooker, all right? Or he's a hooker.
And they're like, oh, is that where the apartment comes from? Yeah, so they're like totally shady too. And Gina's like,
I mean, I can't believe anyone wants to sleep with him with those necklaces he wears.
His immunity idol.
She's like, come on, let's call her right now.
She's like, are you serious? Let's just fucking call her then. So they're wasted, and they call Bronwyn. He's like home.
And by the way, let's not forget, Emily, like, Bronwyn has just confided in Emily, the only person she's confided to at this point, that she's an alcoholic. And now Emily is going to drunk dial the fresh new woman in recovery.
Yeah. But at least she didn't tell Gina that she was an alcoholic.
That's true. I was waiting for that.
In Housewives world, that's huge.
Yeah.
So they do call her, and Bronwyn's there with, like, I mean, literally kids hanging from the ceiling. There's like a kid in the mixer just going around and around.
Wait, are you sure this isn't the scene from Gremlins?
It is. The other's one from like the kitchen, the fan in the kitchen just going around and around.
So Bronwyn, she's like, hi there. She's like all cold. And Gina's like, so I heard you've been taking shots at me. And Bronwyn's like, I have been. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I was fully expecting Bronwyn to be like, what? What are you talking about? She's like, I have been. And Gina's like, why? Bronwyn's like, you know why. Basically, I've learned some things that you said about my husband that aren't cool and aren't true, and I don't appreciate it. And she's like, what about your husband? I don't even know. Dos Idiotas here, you know?
It's like, oh, you said some things about my husband, and I am not happy about it, and you are going to get it when I talk to you.
And then they just show Bronwyn just like furious, and she's wearing a shirt that says, choose love.
And she's so mad that she censors herself. She's like, maybe all that bleep went to your brain, but I'm not going to say that over the phone.
No, she says bleach.
Bleach. That makes much more sense.
I guess all that bleach went to your brain. She's like, what? She's like, that bleach went to your brain. She's like, oh my God, good one that people have been saying for like, what, like 50 years?
I was so confused. I was so confused. I was like, all that bleep. Why is she saying bleep?
Yeah, bleach. But it's funny because they have like the exact same amount of roots and stuff. So she's pissed, and so then we find out why. And it's because after the tea party last year, they all went out and got shit-faced, and Gina was so drunk that Sean had to help her get an Uber. So he gets her an Uber, and she gets home, and then he texts her when she gets home, and we see the text.
But let's also, before we even get to the text, let's just back up one smidgen. The reason why Bronwyn is mad. We were going to get to the reason why at the core of this, but the reason why Bronwyn even knows about any of this is because Tamara told Bronwyn that Gina had shown her this text that we're about to describe. So Tamara is still not on the show.
Tamara, that's several
impacts this episode.
Yes, Tamara is still in this whole episode, and you know she was at home like, ha ha, bitch! Like, she loves it. Because, Gina told her about the text, and then Tamara went to Bronwyn and said, oh, yeah, she's saying your husband, like, what's the fucker? Something like that, you know, along those lines. So we see the text, and it says, hi, Gina, just checking all's okay, smiley face. Bronwyn's asleep, but I got her to the condo first, wink. Anyway, have a good night, and it was great to spend time with you. Happy face. Oh, yeah, this is Sean. Probably should have started with that.
Smiley emoji. So if you got that text, I'm not sure. I actually am, like, I've been trying to think, like, how would I have perceived that text? Would I perceive that text as flirtatious, or would I have perceived it as Sean just being Sean? How would you have taken it?
It seems a little flirtatious to me, but they're also in an open relationship, so they talk about all the time dating other people, so yeah. I'm not sure if that's bad, but I think it was also nice of him to get her an Uber and stuff home.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if I got this, if I saw this, if my boyfriend had sent someone like, smiley face, Bronwyn's asleep, but I got out of the condo first, wink, like, I wouldn't like that.
I think my reaction would have been, that seems a little weird. Maybe I'll give her benefit of the doubt. I'm not sure. I think I don't know. I'd have been like, that's weird. I probably would have just like put like a red flag in my mind about it, but I don't think I would have like, I'm not sure if I would have, I don't know. I don't know what I would have done. I'm not sure. Waited and seen to see what future texts were like, to be like, was I picking up on something? Or I'm not sure if I would go to a friend and be like, do you think this is flirtatious? I don't know. Because again,
I would bring it on camera to Tamara Barney. Exactly. But that's different because Gina hated Bronwyn. So of course she's going to try and do that too.
And that brings up another point. Okay. Well, first of all, if Gina does that, Gina bringing up the text on camera, I think is a bigger offense. Like to basically suggest that Sean is, you know, up to something is a bigger offense than what Bronwyn did. But that being said, if Gina's saying like, well, Bronwyn and I just aren't friends anyway. Well, if they're not friends, isn't Bronwyn entitled to talk some shit about the house in that situation? Right? They're not friends. What sort of betrayal is there?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing, I don't know where I stand on that. But yeah, I think it's like slightly creeps. But I don't know that if your boyfriend got me an Uber wasted and then was like, hey, checking in, winky face, hope you're okay, winky. I wouldn't be like, I wouldn't go to your best friend and be like, or one of your friends and be like, do you know what Ben's boyfriend did? He sent me a text acting like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Move,
but she doesn't like Bronwyn anyway, so whatever.
Yeah, but that being said, the text did have a flirtatious vibe, so I'm still trying to like suss it out, but I still just feel like I still feel like what Gina did was kind of worse than what Bronwyn did. So I'm not saying this just because Bronwyn came to our show. I just want to put that out. Bronwyn came to the Crappies this year. I'm not saying any of this because Bronwyn and Sean came. I'm saying this basically just on what I'm seeing on the show.
Well, Gina says, well, maybe I took it out of context, but I have the right to think it's creepy because it is. And so Bronwyn just hangs up on them, right? So Gina's like, oh my gosh, she hung up. Call her again. I'm being prosecuted. It's like the Blair Witch Project, all right?
Yeah. So they call her back and Bronwyn's like, I'm not doing this on the phone. I'm not doing this on the phone, even though I did answer the phone knowing fully well what you wanted to talk about this time around. So I'm not doing this on the phone. I'm not doing this on the phone. Listen, Bronwyn told me some stuff and I am not too, I'm sorry, Tamara told me some stuff and I am not too pleased. So then Gina's like, so instead of coming to me, you talk to everyone else, sort of like how I talk to everyone else about what Sean wrote instead of going to you. Is that the deal?
Yeah. So Emily is like, well, apparently Tamara has gotten a day off from her master Lucifer, and she's coming to Earth to let us know what's going on.
I like that.
Yeah, and she goes, Tamara needs a hobby to occupy her time, so she's not interested in our lives and what's going on the show she got fired from, which is so beautiful to hear from somebody, because that's always how Tamara is, you know? She's like,
I don't even care what she thinks. She's fired. Fuck her.
Mm-hmm. She does exactly right. So basically, yeah, Gina's like, I know you have a lot going on in your life. And Brahma's like, you have no clue. And she's like, you know what? Your soliloquy is amazing.
Did you say soliloquy instead of soliloquy? Oh.
She's like, no, I said soliloquy, all right? It's just no one's used to me knowing English words. Because she actually did say soliloquy.
Oh, she did say soliloquy?
Yeah, you know, people like Gina just shock you every time. It's like,
yeah, except she didn't use it correctly.
Oh, my God, how do you add up tips? How do you add up tips?
But then they've got like the pie sign floating around their head, like in a beautiful mind, you know?
But she didn't use soliloquy correctly, though, right? I mean, even though she said the word correctly, she didn't actually use the word properly. So there, taking it back.
She said your soliloquy was nice.
No, but like soliloquies are like when you have like a speech on stage that no one else can hear.
Oh, I think she just meant I'm dumb too. So
she meant monologue. Point. Yeah, she meant I thought you were going to co-sign with me because you're a theater kid. I thought you were going to.
I'm a musical theater kid. Okay, soliloquy is some Shakespeare shit. Okay, I don't want shit to rhyme unless it's being sung loudly by a diva. Okay,
fine. Patti LuPone's having a show this weekend, by the way.
And guess what? It's not going to have a fucking soliloquy. Okay, will it have an 11 o'clock number? Yes. Will it have ballads? Yes. Soliloquies? No.
Yeah,
it's for smart kids. So Bronwyn's like, oh, and by the way, don't call me from Emily's phone. Call from your own phone, okay? You better call from your own phone. Bronwyn uses her mouth the most of any housewife when she talks.
She throws everything into it, right? She really drops on the point.
You better not call me from her phone.
So, yeah. So Gina's like, you know what? Last year they wanted to sleep with me, and now this year it's my home is too small, huh?
She's like, yeah, you think you're better than everybody. You can't have a conversation on the phone. You gotta do it in person. Like, only the Queen of England would expect that.
I don't know. I think that Gina is projecting some insecurities about her situation. That's what I really think. To be honest, if I can be honest for a second, that's what I think.
I think she's projecting, okay?
So I don't know, but I mean, there was no projecting on Kelly when she was living in a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, there was. By Vicky. Remember?
But not from Bronwyn.
Yeah. But she was fine with Vicky. The thing is, these two girls don't like each other anyway. So they're doing things that normally would be okay, but they don't like each other. So it's like much worse. Always, you know?
There's meaning behind it.
Yeah. So then, Felisa! They're taking a Felisa sign out of Kelly's place. And she's on the closet floor talking to her mom. Hey, Kel.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, Kel. What's going on?
So Kelly's telling us about how her relationship with her mom has flourished over the past year or so. But now she has issues with Jolie because Jolie argues about everything and she whines about everything. And Jolie's a good kid, you know, she's a good kid. But I have to tell her all the time to do things and she keeps ignoring me. She's such a dork. She ignores me.
Yeah, I mean, my God. I mean, I don't want to be like my mother. Oh, you know what? Everyone's drinking these white claws with alcohol. And she said there's no law in drinking the claw. Oh, what? I thought I was the only one to rhyme in this family. Oh,
oh God, I feel like I'm turning into my mom. On top of that, I got a haircut where the front's long and the back short. Oh,
I told her, you're not drinking, right? And then Then she picks up a wine glass as big as her head and, like, drinks. And she's like, well, I guess they say monkey see, monkey do.
Oh, I'm just not going to drink in front of Jolie anymore.
Yeah, right. So then we go to the Ant Hill store. It's like a party store.
Yeah, it's fun. So Elizabeth shows up with Bronwyn. And Elizabeth's like, oh, they don't have martinis, so you'll have to help me through this. Because poor Elizabeth does not realize that Bronwyn is in recovery and basically puts her foot in her mouth many, many times in this scene.
Yeah, over and over again. So she's like, my family's been here the whole week. Emily, we went to Pot Pot, and she said, you guys should just come to my party. I said, okay.
So they're talking about the party is cat-themed. I don't know why I wrote that down. But I guess maybe I was like having flashbacks to last year when Gina put on an entire like face of Andrew Lloyd Webber cat's makeup at a kid's party. So Bronwyn's like talking about, well, she's like talking about Gina and she's like, well, you know what? Did I tell you about this? How Gina, Sean, so Sean texts Gina, okay? And this is what happens. Sean basically is like, hey, I got, Bronwyn fell asleep. Hope you got home. Hope everything's okay. And then Gina's going about over-exaggerating everything, saying that, you know, Sean's hitting on her, la da 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 da. So she's telling the whole story to Elizabeth.
And Elizabeth is like, bitch, you think a text is bad? You should see what my husband did. He got someone else pregnant.
You know, my mom, oh gosh, let me tell you about my mom. Actually, let me tell you about my dad. He was an alcoholic. Gosh, alcoholics everywhere. He died, you know, he died from drinking. And Bronwyn was like, my dad died from drinking too. She's like, no, but my dad died because of he's an alcoholic. He had full-on system failure. Okay, now I'm gonna tell a story that's gonna be equal parts hilarious and sad. Are you ready for it?
Okay.
Yeah. They put him on life support, and I couldn't get on a plane, and my ex-husband was on our yacht with Steven Tyler, the Guns N' Roses guys, Bette Midler, Huey Lewis in the News, Ducky the from Pretty in Pink. I mean, it was quite a day.
There was the guy who made the sound effects from Police Academy. Oh, he's great.
And I called him, and I said, we have a jet. But guess what? My husband decided to stay with Steven Tyler and Ducky. Now, what's up with these alcoholics? Am I right? What is up with alcoholics?
So many alcoholics, right? Oh, my God. God, they are crazy.
She is such an asshole. Oh, my God. Even without knowing about what Bronwyn is going through, what a dick. I couldn't get on a regular plane. You know, so sorry for poor people with sick family members who just, sorry, Mom, couldn't get there. Sorry you had system failure too late for me to get there. I don't have a private plane, so blame Steven Tyler. Okay.
Elizabeth is such an asshole that I love her. Like, I love this woman. She knows that Bronwyn said that her dad died of alcoholism. So she knows enough. She doesn't even have to know about Bronwyn's situation. She knows enough to perhaps be sensitive to the fact that Bronwyn may have emotional baggage from that. But so she's like, let me tell you something. So I called up my husband and I said, why can't I get on that private plane? And I all heard back was like, ew. I was like, damn it, I called the fax machine, but it turned out it was just the Police Academy guy. So then I said, put me out with my husband. But he was doing shots. He was doing shots with Winona Judd. Winona Judd was there. And I said, can I get on a plane? And he said, no, you get on this yacht because all the best people in the world are here. So you know what I did? I just sat down and watched a soap opera. What can I say?
Yeah, it's like, what are you talking about? So Bronwyn's like, she's just giving her like tooth look, like, and she just doesn't get it at all and keeps going on and on. And she's like, you know, I mean, I know what it's like. I mean, I've been a lush since the divorce. And I just tell myself, I will not die like Daddy. When I die, it's probably going to be on the yacht. So when I die, Steven Tyler's going to have his face in between breasts. I'm telling you that much right now. And then we cut to Bronwyn back at home, all depressed after this meeting. She's just like,
she's like
in bed.
Elizabeth has destroyed her, essentially. Yes.
Yeah, she's in bed, like so depressed. And Sean comes in and she's like, I mentioned like casually about my dad, and it was like a smack in the face, Sean. A smack in the face.
Yeah, I didn't really totally know what she meant by that, but I guess, I don't know, maybe the reality of the situation hit her. And she tells us in the confessional that she just wants a drink so badly, and she hates that she basically made this choice, and now she has to live with it. Because, you know, like, once you say that, then if you say, you know what, I'm not ready for this, people are just going to judge you, you know? Yeah. And so, or that's how she probably feels, I imagine. So she just wants to be normal, and she thought she'd be stronger. She thought she had enough sobriety under her belt to that she'd be okay with this, but now she's hitting the hard part.
So she's supposed to go out to dinner tonight with Shannon, so she has to get all dressed up, but she's really pissed now because this is like 3 hours later. And she's like, well, great, now I have to go to dinner with Shannon and tell her I'm not drinking because of my stupid fucking mother. So she tells us that she's just started to get back with her mother and they're taking baby steps to get back together. And her mother has now forced her to talk about her alcoholism because, do we get there yet? Oh, so I guess yes. she tells
Dr.
Shannon
Deb.
This.
No, well, no. Bronwyn is coming down the stairs to go out. And she basically announces that Dr. Deb called up Tamara and said that Bronwyn quit drinking. Her mom called up Tamara. And then on top of that,
that's terrible. So, that's terrible.
That is horrific. And basically she's like pissed because she feels like she now that Tamara knows it, she knows it's going to go everywhere. So she has to like basically talk about it before she's really ready to talk about it to everyone. So then we cut over to Shannon, who is ready to go out, and she's with John, and they're in the kitchen. She's like, well, oh my God, it's my first Friday night without John Jansen in 8 months. Wow. Oh God. Oh, are you going to be okay, honey? Are you going to be okay at home with all the reel-to-reel packaging? Oh, God.
I can't support this couple solely because of the sink nozzle. I can't.
Thank you. I was about to say that.
I mean, what the
crazy.
Hell? Are you adopting miniature horses to bathe in that kitchen? What is that?
It was tall. It looked like a clarinet was attached to the sink. It was just huge and like, I couldn't even, I didn't know where it began or where it ended or what it was. Just, it was steampunk and old fashioned all at once.
It's offensive. So it's an offensive nozzle or spout. So, or what do you call it? I don't know what you call it.
Faucet. A travesty. Yeah. A travesty.
A travesty. So Shannon comes out and she goes, oh, so we're in a van?
Well, I would have thought after 6 years being on the show that maybe I might be afforded a little bit of luxury. I guess we don't have that anymore. Oh, it's Brown when she's driving a van. Oh, wow, it's almost as big as Gina's house. Oh.
Yeah, and this is the only time Vicky's ghost showed up on this show so far, because everybody knows that Vicky is probably like, that's Family Dan! Screaming. So Bronwyn's like, it's my car. Just get in. And Bronwyn's in a terrible mood. And Shannon's like, yeah. So, how are you? It's like, fucking goddammit. She's just in a terrible, terrible place.
Yeah, and Bronwyn's like, well, did you talk to Tamara today? And she's like, well, I mean, I pretty much every day I have to get my marching orders for the day. Of course I did. Well, guess what? My mother spoke to her. And Shannon's like, oh, really? Oh, really? I did not know this at all. Please go on. I'm just going to bulge my eyes as if I had no idea. No idea whatsoever.
Yeah, you know Shannon knows because she's making that stupid whistle face she always makes. She's like,
ooh, ooh, what? Ooh. What? Ooh. I have no idea.
Is there a bottle that I can make a little tune on?
I brought a box of pregnancy tests just because you're not drinking. Maybe you're pregnant.
She's like, I'm not pregnant. I'm an alcoholic, I think. And Shannon's like, hoo-hoo, shock face, hoo. And she's like, yeah, so she tells her basically, you know, her mom told Tamara that she can't get out of bed. She's drinking all the time. And then Shannon makes Home Alone face. She's like,
yeah, she's going,
my parents just left me in an airport.
There are David, there are burglars downstairs. There are burglars. David, I tried to swing that bowling ball from the rope, but instead it crashed into the chandelier.
I put that ladder on springs so when they tried to get up to my window, they were shot to space.
But then I got lonely and thought, wouldn't it be nice if someone were tapping on my window just to check in on me?
Mm. So they go to dinner, and then Bronwyn does the thing where she's like, you better order something. If you don't order, I'm going to feel stupid. Like, you're not ordering because I'm not drinking. And Shannon's like, no, I love water. I love water.
Wait, we have to also mention something else that happened that came out of this drive, which is that Bronwyn's mother, it is then revealed that her mother said in New York, I'm assuming the reunion or something, Dr. Deb told Bronwyn, if you don't say that everything was a lie that you said on the show, I'm going to tell everyone that you have a drinking problem. So basically her mom was trying to blackmail her with her alcoholism. God.
Jeez, that is terrible.
Yeah.
So they basically go to dinner, and Bronwyn's, you know, worried that she's going to lose all her friends because she was drinking buddies with Shannon, you know? So she's like, oh my God, I hope I still have friends. And then she's talking about how she's going to go to AA meetings. And Shannon tells us, I had no idea it was that bad. No idea. Then we see shots, you know, and all this. And Bronwyn, you know, Bronwyn drunk moments, basically. And then it comes back to her and she's like,
but when I think about it, it kind of adds up.
Shannon's always a little slow on the uptake, you know, crumbling marriage. Bronwyn, Tamara, you know, she's a little slow on the uptake sometimes, but that's why we love her.
So cheers to good choices. And then we go to the big cat birthday party at Emily's house.
Yeah, there's this adorable cake, a cat cake, which I loved. And then you just see Shane sitting in the corner like,
of course, sitting on the couch while everybody else is working. Shane's just sitting there watching TV. Of course, soccer.
So Emily's like, my daughter's 7 now, and she like talks with her hands on her hips, and she has like an attitude. I mean, she's growing up. I cry at night.
So she's talking to Shane in the kitchen. She's like, Gina's gonna come, but the other night she basically admitted she has a problem. Bronwyn basically admitted she has a problem with alcohol, and she said not to tell Gina, and so I didn't tell Gina, but then Gina was like commenting on her drinking, and so it was like awkward.
And you came up with a magnificent idea of inviting them both here. Yeah. Wait. Before you do the song, if there's a problem, I'll just eject one of them. King of Snarkasm!
So then arrivals, people in kitty hats. Elizabeth shows up with her brother and his kids and her mother. And Jesus Christ, like, no one invited 20 of your people to this home, ma'am. So they come in, and then Jimmy, the young stud, way overdressed in a suit.
Yeah. I think he thought he was going to, like a conference.
Yeah. Not convinced about Jimmy. He looks a little confused. So Bronwyn's like, I'm not interested in fighting at a kid's birthday party. I mean, I offered to stay home, but, you know, we can just put on our big girl panties, I guess. So they basically come in, and Emily is talking to Bronwyn, and she's like, just before she gets here, I mean, I know that you're mad at her, but just remember that you said mean things about her, too. It's like, oh, what mean things? She's like, the small condo remarks. And she goes, well, actually, I'm not the only one who said that. Shannon has said that, too.
Yeah, she's like, and then she goes, yeah, I mean, Shannon told me that it's kind of sad. She said either sad or depressing. And Emily goes, sad and depressing? No. Sad or depressing. Only one of those words. Sad or depressing. Not both. Okay? So please don't use both words together when you describe this conversation. Thank you.
Yeah. And Emily's like, if that's true and Shannon did say that, then that shows she has no problem making fun of poor people with really sad sewn on hair. And that is not cool with me.
And it just cuts to, like, Elizabeth is just, like, doing her own thing at this party. She's, like, grabbing children, like, oh, wow, look at all these children. Makes me almost want to have children this much. Here, I'm borrowing you. You're my child. Hey, it's a piano. Reminds me of this one time when I went cruising with Linda Lavin. It was such a great time.
So Bronwyn's like, you know, Shannon's is the only one who's been there, so who else would I have heard that from but Shannon? She's like, well, yeah. That's pretentious. I mean, she had a really rough year, and this is all she can afford, okay? And she goes, okay, I said I was taking shots. I admit that I was taking shots, so fucking yeah. Kill me.
Exactly. So Gina shows up. She literally showed up to the party just to get her face painted. She doesn't even have the kids this weekend. She's like, I'm really here for the face painting, okay? I want Mr. Mistopheles.
Yeah, so then there's like an awkward hello outside with Sean and Bronwyn and Gina. She's like, sup, guys? And Gina's like, where are the kids' birthday party? So you can't just act like a normal fucking human? I mean, have some fucking cake.
Yeah. And then Gina, like, so Gina meets Elizabeth, and then they start talking about eating and stuff like that. And she's like, you know what? I mean, I feel great. I just don't feel my pants, you know? Elizabeth's like, well, if you need a doctor to help you shuck some of that out of you, I know a good guy down south, okay? Just hit me up.
Yeah. So then Bronwyn's like, how do you feel about being around her? And he's like, well, I mean, I have no ill will if she just apologizes. She's like, yeah, you're right. You're right, Sean. You're right. So then Emily is in there stirring some more shit with Gina. She's like, well, when you talk to Bronwyn, you might want to ask her what Shannon said about your plays. I mean, she said it was sad and depressing, both of those words. I mean, it's like, I was like, you guys are making fun of someone who gets no money, no support, and you talk shit about her.
Oh my God, they think it's sad and depressing? Like, it'd be one thing if they thought it was sad. It'd be one thing if they thought it was depressing. But the fact that they say it's sad and depressing, I think this is going to be a season-long feud.
Yeah, I cannot forgive that. That's too much. Two words? Two descriptors?
Two words? No. Two words? She's going to hit me when I don't even have my gather sign unpacked yet. She's going to say that about me? That's not nice.
And also, Shannon's getting caught again because Shannon didn't really do anything, I don't think. She's like, well, it's very nice. She's living in a condo with two bedrooms and seven children, or nine, or 30. who can tell, really? Yeah, we can tell that Shannon was like, what the fuck? But I don't think she said anything that mean.
No, I mean, I think it is. Listen, there are a lot of people who are forced to be in those situations for sure. And it's like, you know what? Like, people got to do what they got to do to get on. I just think it's, I personally thought the only weird part of it was that the guy moved in with his three kids, unless they both financially needed to do that to stay to sustain. Yeah. I don't know, but
Shannon's going to get in so much trouble for this, and she really didn't do anything. So Sean's like, leftover cake, and Liz is like, well, I'm not taking a cake in the face, I'll tell you that. I'll take other things in the face, but not cake. I didn't mean a penis. Sorry, honey, sorry about that.
So, Jimmy just looks horrified. He's like, I thought I was here to see some PowerPoint, not to be around children and cakes and my girlfriend making strange jokes.
There's just cake. I thought there was going to be pie charts.
So Gina, Bronwyn's leaving, or Gina's leaving, and Gina, they're like, you know, we'll talk this way. Bronwyn's leaving. She's like, all right, you know, Gina, we'll talk this week. Okay. Like, yeah, mutual mom respect. We're not going to make a scene here. Okay. And then Gina's like, I have a plethora of choice words to say to Bronwyn, and almost all of them will be used in the improper context, okay?
Plethora. I've got a plethora soliloquy to give to that bitch.
I've got a plethora of words to say, like live, laugh, and love.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Orange County. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Thanks for being with us on video here at Crappens on Demand. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow we're going to be back recapping the Netflix show, Home Design Challenge.
No, is it Home Design? I thought Dream Home. Is it Dream Home?
Dream Home Challenge Makeover. Challenging dream, home.
Your dream
white
home.
People
dream
in
home.
Utah. Dreaming
white people
homes.
In Utah house. White people in Utah house show.
Yes, from Netflix. So if you want to watch it first, just go to Netflix and type in white people, white, and it'll come up.
And we'll be there to recap it.
Bye, everybody. Everyone.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordess, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Coutar. We love you guys.